Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for October the 17th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. We are live 2 hours a day, Monday through Saturday. On the Sabbath, we rest. Here's a recap of yesterday's show, if you didn't get a chance to listen. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word. Donate today, would you please? We talked about Ben Swan thanking everyone who says, thank you to everyone who have joined us on our ICE Media platform. That's I-S-E. Via the crowdfunding, we have continued to grow, and I am honored. We have raised about $400,000 so far from about 1,500 investors. Pretty tremendous gathering there for Ben Swan. Talk radio is turning millions of Americans into conservatives. There's no doubt about that. That's been going on for decades, folks. Rush Limbaugh launches what they call brand new operation to help Trump win race. He basically said if the media is going to shut you down everywhere, Twitter, etc., why don't you come on the Rush Limbaugh program, whatever, 500 radio stations. So there you have it, terrestrial, saving the day for the digital divisionaries, right? Trump presses barr to target political enemies while Justice Department stays mute on the topic. You know, we just need to not have different departments doing different things and attacking people and you know, working on political enemies. What we need to do is if somebody's committed crimes, then we need to be clear. We need to have due process, try them for their crimes. If guilty, they need to be convicted. That's all. We don't need this weird bars against Trump who, or Trump doesn't carry out whatever, or bar this, and the Justice Department that, and the FBI this, the CIA that. We don't need all that, folks. We need to stand for the rule of law in the greatest country on the face of the earth. Trump tells seniors that he'll make, what's that thing called? Remdesivir, or whatever that drug is. He'll make it available for free, and he'll sign an emergency use authorization for that. I'm not really for the president authorizing or funding drugs at all, but there you go. Big Pharma taking center stage, sad to say. Fed found that the economy is recovering much faster than officials expected. That's good news for everybody, I hope. Thousands of New Jersey voters received wrong mail-in ballots. Yet in Utah, in a big county, Sam Pete County, Utah, they sent out a bunch of ballots, and, oh, they forgot the signature line. Wow. Nick Sandman, the Catholic teenager, doing great in his fight against the New York Times. He scores a massive victory. New York Times, ABC, CBS, etc. He's scoring big, and he deserves to, by the way. They intentionally, dishonestly made it seem like he was the aggressor, and video proved that to be a flat-out blatant lie. Ted Cruz rips apart CBS for airing the Tara Reid interview in Australia, but not in America. Great point. That was hour one. Hour two, we had our guest on, Mr. Ammon Bundy. Peoplesrights.org is his website. And we talked about the media and the government are in bed together, and they're intentionally engaging in political warfare by using scare words. They're isolating, demonizing, and destroying all peaceful patriots. I don't know what's going on here, but this has got to stop, folks. We're going to get into that as the broadcast unfolds, because I think they're taking advantage of us because of our words. We'll get into the details of that, but this is serious, serious business, folks. Please remember this, though. You shall know them by their fruits. I'm telling you that right now. Us and them, whoever, pay attention to what we say and do. By the way, a Cedar Hills house in Standoff was heavily fortified inside, police say, KSL Radio, KSL News. But here's the problem. It isn't true. We're talking about Ken Cromar's house. It wasn't heavily fortified. And they say a standoff? There was one woman in there by herself that willingly came out. There wasn't a standoff. Then they try to say she broadcasted on new media the standoff. Oh, she was streaming to show America what was happening to her in her home. But see, they turned this into a kind of a militia intense. It was a meltdown, and thank heavens the police got the upper hand. That isn't true. Barb Cromar was there by herself. Yes, there was guns in the home, a few of them. But the question asked to the prosecutors was this. How come Barb was downstairs and the guns were upstairs? And how come the guns had dust all over them, meaning that they haven't been used in months? Roasted to the prosecutors. Now you say, wait a minute, Sam, there's a gag order on this case. And my response to that is this. There's no gag order on me, baby. And furthermore, KSL has no gag order. So all I'm telling you is the truth shall be known. Ammon's Army is the headline of an article. Questions mount about Trump's ties to Michigan fascist plotters. We'll get into that in the details big time today. People's rights, uniting neighbors to defend their families, faith, freedom, and their futures. Who would you call right now if you needed help protecting your rights, right? That's a great question that Ammon Bundy's wisely asking. Peoplesrights.org to learn more and to get on the neighborhood watch list is what I'm calling it. We're actively working hard, says Ammon Bundy, to build a strong legal, political, and physical defense system in your area. Wow, with what's going on in America and the rioting and the looting and the plundering and the literally destroying of private property and the threatening of people's lives and everything else, it's hard to say that's not justified, huh? Where do you go with this kind of stuff? Do we want to ratchet up or calm it down? I personally want to calm it down. The problem is I'm not exactly sure how to get that done. I guess we can pray hard. I guess we can lead by example. But there you have it. But here's the problem. They're saying we're the violent ones. Problem is I haven't seen any violence at all. The good Sheriff Richard Mack on the road. Where you at, sir? Virginia?
Yeah, I'm back in Virginia, Sam, of all places.
Well, that's a blessing to be there, sir.
Well, it is, and it's Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Wow, and from Fredericksburg, Texas to Virginia, huh?
Yes, there's two great Fredericksburgs in America. Maybe there's even more, but the ones that I have been to, Fredericksburg, Virginia, and Fredericksburg, Texas. What amazing towns. Fredericksburg, Virginia is quite a bit bigger than Fredericksburg, Texas. But Fredericksburg, Virginia is so Americana, historical. It's got history just oozing out of it and culture just oozing out of it. And this is where George Washington was born.
It's almost as American as I am.
Yeah. Yeah. And if he cut down the cherry tree, this is where it happened. And
all
it's
right.
Also huge. It's huge Civil War. Also, it's this. There was several Civil War battles here. The Battle of Marye's Heights and Richard Kirkland, one of my favorite Civil War heroes, worked for the he was a soldier for the South at the Battle of Marye's Heights when the stupid Union general just kept having the soldiers try to march up towards this the brick wall, the stone wall. That's kind of where Stonewall Jackson got some of his reputation. But anyway, there's this great big brick wall, and the Southern soldiers were just hiding behind that and picking off all these Union soldiers like target practice who were crossing this wide open field to try to take Marye's Heights. And there were so many wounded soldiers that night crying for help and crying for water that Richard Kirkland gathered up about 13, 14 canteens from other soldiers, and he went out into the field giving aid and water to these wounded soldiers, Union soldiers. And his captain told him not to because they would kill him, and he says, I have to do this. I cannot take this anymore, listening to these cries. And he said, go ahead. It's your funeral. And no one ever confronted him. No one ever heard him. And there's a statue here, a monument to him, where he's giving aid, giving water to an enemy soldier. And it's just the greatest story. I absolutely love it. It's compassion. It's humane. It's Christian.
And you can call it an enemy American soldier, or you can say an American patriot on either side.
He totally was. Yeah.
I bring this up, ladies and gentlemen, because the question is, Sheriff, and I'm going to do this on purpose to you. Just fall for the trap for a second. It'll make sense. Are you on the side of the north or the side of the south, sir?
I would have been on the north.
All right. Now, here's the deal. I understand the south's points more than I understand the north's points. However, I see value on both sides, and I'm grateful the country stayed together. How do you like that?
Yeah, I question that part, though.
Which part?
I don't see where we want the country to stay together? Yes. I don't think it's that big of a deal. It certainly didn't hurt us separating from England. I don't think it would have been that big of a deal if the South had created another country. I really don't. Okay, so we have two Americas, and they're living there next to each other.
You'd call it North America and South America, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. You know, I don't think Lincoln was correct saying, if you don't stay in the Union, we'll kill you.
I agree. I don't think that was correct.
I don't think sacrificing 680,000, 700,000 men
was worth it.
To keep a union.
But now you're making my points on the side of the South that I'm making, which is states' rights. I know they kind of want to mix slavery into it, but states' rights. The point about the North and the South, though, is I agree with some realities of both. I am grateful we stayed together as a country, and I do think we're better off that way as we prepare for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. But I want to get an update from the Red Pill Expo real quick, and then I want to move into a hardcore topic, okay?
All right.
Hang tight, sir.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. DefendAPatriot.com.
All right, Sam Bushman in studio, the good sheriff in Virginia on the road, taking care of business for the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org. So I know the North and South is a big issue, and it's interesting. On one hand, Sheriff Mack would choose the North, which I understand, but then he says, hey, you know what, the South didn't deserve all the abuse they took for the North, and you know, that's the point, is it's very, very controversial, and I support both sides based on the topic. Okay, slavery, I'm 1,000% against. Okay, slavery is evil and wrong and needs to stop. However, I don't believe that's what the war was about. That was a great move to force you to be on one side of the divide or not. But it was more about states' rights. It was more about self-determination as a sovereign state. And a lot of sovereignty for states was lost over the Civil War. And so on one hand, I agree with the South in the states' rights issue. I agree that I'm against slavery. I don't agree that President Lincoln had the right to just you know, force his way and pull a Sherman and just destroy everything in sight. The battle rages on in the hearts and minds of Americans today. And the same battle, sadly, seems to be shaping up in America. The issues are slightly different, but the principles are the same. They're putting slavery. They're putting black lives. They're putting states' rights. They're putting self-determination. They're putting property all in the middle of this. So when I was with Ammon Bundy yesterday, I wrote a headline that says this, Sheriff. The media and government are in bed together and are intentionally engaging in political warfare by using scare words. You know, Black Lives Matter, militia, white supremacist. And we go on and on and on and on with the terms being homophobe, something-a-phobe, whatever, right? And the problem with that is that they're using those words to literally isolate, demonize, and destroy all patriots. We talked about that in detail. But they're using our words against us and playing games. And I highlighted in some articles how they weren't being honest about me. But there's several articles out now that basically say this. Ammon Bundy's army is gearing up, and it's going to be gnarly when it cranks up. You know, they almost want you to believe Ammon's army is like Sherman's army, right? Okay, and then Richard Mack, a, quote, militia leader. Stuart Rhodes, another militia leader. G. Edward Griffin at the Red Pill Expo, another leader. Everybody's getting together, and believe it or not, they're all working with Sam Bushman, the talk show host, to peddle their agenda into the future. It's almost the take in a lot of these articles and magazines. Well, they then team that up with Donald Trump. Sam's the closest to Donald, they say, which, by the way, isn't true. And then they come back and say, hey, you know, with Sam Bushman and all these gentlemen around him, and you know what? There's a plot in Michigan to kidnap the governor, man. And this plot, these a couple of brothers got busted, and man, it was crazy, and their militia. And they're really tied to Trump and to Mac and to Sam and to Ammon and to everybody. In fact, Darleaf, one of the leaders of the Constitutional Sheriff's Movement, he's defending them. So here's the headline that they wrote. Constitutional Michigan Sheriff says Whitmer plot may have been lawful due to her crimes against the Constitution. Now, Shane Trujillo writes the article. They say the sheriff's not mincing words. Now, that sounds like what on earth is going on? The constitutional sheriffs are backing kidnapping. And they're tied to Trump, and they're defending Donald, and they're at the Red Pill Expo plotting their next move to destroy the country. And they're, and man, Sam was at Red Pill, and Mac was at Red Pill, and so was Stuart Rhodes. And boy, were their comments incendiary. And then they jumped on Liberty Roundtable right after they got off their speeches and stuff like that to peddle the violent porn to the world. That's the case they're making, Sheriff. I want you to respond, and then I want you to break down and tell how the Red Pill Expo went, and then I want to dive into the Darleaf case.
Sam,
how's that for a setup, sir?
I know. You were scaring me with all that talk. Man. It was racism and white supremacy and militias. Sam, you are so right.
Terrorist groups?
That the media is inventing and fabricating this whole thing. Because let's look at this. First of all, the militia that got arrested, or the militia members, if that's really what they are, I don't know them. I think Darleaf knew one or two of them.
Yeah, they say he spoke on the same stage with them, which, by the way, he clearly says he does not regret, by the way.
Yeah, of course. Well, Sam, if you'll recall, what was it, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, maybe longer? I can't keep track of time. It goes too fast. Where this couple in Las Vegas killed two police officers. And then the SPLC tried to tie me to the husband.
And what they did was they found a picture where this husband was hanging around the Patriot groups. And then right. somehow he, along with a gazillion other people, as you know, me as a talk show host, I went to the Red Pill. I don't know, didn't even know how many people took their pictures with me. Same as
right.
you. And so then this murderer guy ended up having a picture with you, and they put that as if you had backed and or were part of the agenda, which is completely right. false. You never knew the guy at all. Now, he hung around Patriot circles to some degree. That's true. But most of the Patriot groups kicked him out, including the Bundy Ranch, kicked this guy out of their group saying, you know what, you're a wacko. You don't seem stable. We don't really need you around at all. You're not helping the cause. And a lot of groups kicked him out. But furthermore, we still don't even know if the guy was a government plan or who he was.
Well, and I've done the same thing, Sam. The thing of it is, when anybody ever talks to me and advocates violence, I tell them, I don't do that. I don't agree with you. I don't support violence of any kind. I'll have nothing to do with what you're talking about, if they ever do. This guy never even talked to me. All he did was come up and say, can I buy one of your books? Oh, can we take a picture? That's as much as I ever knew the guy. But yet SPLC, in their ultimate hate agenda, ties me to him and publishes the picture everywhere that this guy had already put, I guess, on Facebook or something. I don't know. I never even saw the picture until SPLC brought it to the world's attention. Trying to, as best they could, that I had some sort of support for him. Absolutely insane lies that the SPLC knew were lies. And yet they continue to do that, and that anybody gives them any credibility is still so astonishing. And SPLC never reports how they used to have law enforcement's ear, because they used to train law enforcement. They don't anymore. Even the craziest groups in this country don't like SPLC anymore and don't pay any attention to them. But they still have a lot of money, and they can put out productions and news and magazines and so on and so forth, because they have money. And you could buy credibility with money. Because you own the media. You do the media stuff. Just absolute insane anti-American, and they are a hate group. They hate the Constitution. They hate the Founding Fathers. They hate the Second Amendment the most, probably anything. And they hate America. And yet they say they're a hate group watch organization. Just absolutely so hypocritical. So dishonest.
Well, it's the typical projection plan where they basically say you're guilty of what they're doing, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And Sam, when was the last time, even if you take this arrest of the half a dozen or maybe about a dozen, I don't know, I don't think they know, of the people that got arrested and supposedly tied, they were having this conspiracy to go arrest Gretchen Whitmer. Why didn't they wait for them to actually do something overtly instead of just
talking
about it?
Let's get into the Gretchen Whitmer story in just a second, because Darlief has a lot to say about
it. This is what I want to say. Let me ask this thing. When was the last time any militia group committed an act of violence?
Well, it all depends on how you define militia group, because what they'll say is the white supremacists and militia group are really one and the same.
When was the last time the white supremacist
group did it? Oh, when they killed that poor lady over at that... Oh, what was that event where that lady got hit by the car? It's
yeah, I don't know. But still,
right. That's what they'll
document
say.
For me all the school shootings they've done, or any mass shooting they've done, or that they've went out and started burning Portland down or committed acts of violence in any city. Tell me if they've ever gone around looting, burning cars, burning buildings, indiscriminately beating up people. Show me where that's ever happened.
Yeah, and you're right. But what you'll do is you'll get into this blurring of terms. What is a militia? What is a white supremacist group? What is a... And all these labels...
Show me all of them.
And what I call is scare words designed to deceive the people. I'm telling you, the media and the government are in bed together. And are intentionally engaging in political warfare. They're isolating, demonizing, and they're destroying all constitutional patriots. Peaceful patriots, I might add. When we get back, let's break down Red Pill and Darlief.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
In New Zealand, it appears that Jacinda Ardern and her Labour Party will be re-elected in a landslide. And by all signs, Labour will have a big enough victory to control Parliament without a coalition partner. Ardern has earned praise for her handling of the coronavirus pandemic. Her government's response included some of the strictest controls in the world that are being attributed to some of the lowest mortalities globally, with just 25 recorded deaths from the virus. The Labour Party in New Zealand overall has received its greatest support in at least a half century. A new effort by the Federal Communications Commission to look at the legal shield that has spared tech giants from being held accountable for how they patrol their platforms is drawing widespread rebuke. Critics say the agency is caving to pressure from the White House. The move comes as Facebook and Twitter took steps to limit a New York Post story about Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden. This is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature is fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
The product that you have given me here is, as far as I'm concerned, sent to me from heaven. I love it a great deal. It's hard to find anything that's real nowadays. I enjoy it immensely. It's making my life so much better. I feel so much better. And during this pandemic, I have no worries whatsoever. My immune system has got to be at a top-notch level. I don't seem to get colds or anything. I don't know what getting sick is anymore. This is so cool.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or by going to balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code USA.
New data suggests that it could be a grim winter for deaths from COVID-19. The story from USA Radio's Dan Naraki.
A key model has a stark prediction for a winter surge in coronavirus deaths. The new report from the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation at the University of Washington is forecasting a spike in COVID-19 deaths over the winter months to nearly 400,000 by the beginning of February. That would be an increase of more than 80%. Doctors at the Institute say they expect to see the number of deaths begin to rise as soon as the beginning of November. The United States saw the number of coronavirus infections pass 8 million this week. More than 218,000 Americans have already died of the virus. And the latest data from Johns Hopkins University shows that 21 states have recorded peak weekly averages of infections over the last 7 days.
On Wall Street Friday, the Dow closed higher by 112 points. The Nasdaq was down 42 points. The S&P 500 was up a fraction. And you are listening to USA Radio News.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, Sheriff Mack with me. So the city I was thinking about was Charlottesville. Sorry, it slipped my mind until I got off the air. That just happens sometimes. Charlottesville. So they'll point to Charlottesville. They'll point to Dylan Roof. They'll point to the guy that was with you in the photo that murdered cops. And they'll point to a cadre of kind of white supremacy, of militias, of unhinged people, and they'll mix it all together and say, hey, you know what, you're guilty. A Proud Boys right on through will be their list of shenanigans. But here's what I would say this. I went to the Red Pill Expo, and I was there, and I met with a lot of people, and I did a ton of interviews. And all I'm telling you is I think the worst offense anybody committed, if you can call it an offense, was a lot of people didn't wear masks. But I didn't see a single, even as close to a fist fight or a big argument, even at the event. It was as peaceful as it gets, Sheriff.
Yeah, it was. And it was wonderful. And it was beautiful. And I don't know all the people that were there. There could have been some horrible people there. There could have been, oh, the M word. There could have been militia people there. I don't know. And I don't care. I don't care, Sam. And you know, I've said this 100 times on your show, and I'll say it again. I detest and disavow and am against all violence. I always have been. I always will be. I'm a very peaceful person.
And so the media will come up and say, well, you disavow violence, Sheriff, and they'll just keep asking you that, as if you hadn't and if you won't. It's kind of like what they do about Donald Trump. Hey, will you disavow this or that? And he does it over and over and over, and then they just keep asking it like they didn't hear
him.
I might say
the same thing. I might say the same thing Trump said. What do you want me to say? I've said it all before. What do you want me to say? That's what he said. What do you want me to say?
Sheriff, when you're violent, I don't know how you can disavow violence. See how you just can't win that manipulated discussion?
Well, yeah, but then let's start dealing with the facts.
I know, but if you weren't violent, Sheriff, the facts don't matter when they continue to press their scare words and press their dishonesty. Now, let's take this to the Darleaf case to make the point even more poignant. Literally, the headline says this. Constitutional Michigan Sheriff says Whitmer plot may have been lawful due to her crimes against the Constitution. Sheriff Darleaf is not mincing words, writes Shane Trujillo. Now, here's the problem with the whole discussion. If I start with Sheriff Mack, you're violent, even though you said you're not, even though there's no track record of violence, even though the facts are against my point, if I start with the fact that you're violent, it's very easy to frame the argument in a way that looks you or makes you look absolutely extreme and foolish. So when they start out by saying, Sheriff believes Whitmer plot may have been lawful. Okay, that's where the lie starts. So let me explain. The government says, wait a minute, these two guys were trying to kidnap the governor. But Darleaf says it completely different. Darleaf says, hey, wait a minute. The governor has committed crimes against the Constitution with her lockdowns and her mandates, et cetera, et cetera. And so what the sheriff is saying is they do have a right to a fair trial. They're innocent until proven guilty, first of all. So let's not throw the militia members or throw these guys under the bus. Okay? He said, we cannot convict them in the news media here. And I think Darleaf is exactly spot on. We cannot convict them in the news media. They are innocent until proven guilty. Now, here's the narrative. Was it a kidnap and a plot against the governor? And is the sheriff agreeing with that kidnapping / plot like the headline makes you believe? Or is this the truth? He says it's just a charge. They say it's a plot to kidnap. But you got to remember that in Michigan, can we have a citizen's arrest? And they still say, you know what, you in Michigan, if it's a felony, you can make a felony citizen's arrest. He cited, listen carefully, Michigan state law to make his point. So now the governor's saying, wait a minute, if you caught a kidnapping, then, you know, that's a problem. But look, I believe that they were basically executing a citizen's arrest, and if felonies have been committed by the governor, and the law says that's legal. It doesn't say that if you're in elected office that you're exempt from that arrest. So we got to look at it from that angle. So he's not agreeing with a plot to kidnap the governor like the headline lies. He's merely saying, wait a minute, hold on. There's two sides to this story. I am looking at it and saying these guys were trying to commit a citizen's arrest. They have every right to do so if felonies are committed. And law backs this point up. So was it a citizen's arrest attempt or was it a kidnapped attempt? And that is where the whole discussion starts. Darleaf is backing this idea that they have a right to execute a citizen's arrest. And he cites the law to back their point. And so, you know what? As a matter of fact, these guys are innocent until proven guilty. That's the point. And the media is pitching it like there was a plot to kidnap the governor. The truth is so opposite, but they make it sound like Darleaf backs a plot to kidnap as opposed to backing the law and a citizen's arrest legitimate attempt. There's the crux of the argument, Sheriff.
Well, when Darleaf, Sheriff Leaf, a fantastic man, been a huge part of the CSPOA, and by the way, he's a life member of the CSPOA. If he were to say, like he did, if he says that, look, I know that the FBI must have their evidence, but if these guys were just trying to exercise their right as citizens to arrest her, and they never said, let's kidnap her, let's arrest her, That's a huge difference, and I believe that will change the entire picture in court. If their intent was simply to exercise the law of the state of Michigan, and by the way, his district attorney came out and said, Darleaf cannot tell people what the law is, and he's not an attorney, and he's not allowed to make an opinion about the law in this state. If you want to know what the law says, you need to come ask an attorney. Well, you know, that's just stupid arrogance from somebody who obviously seems that has a bone to pick with Sheriff Leaf. But all of us make determinations on the law every day. Citizens do, cops do, sheriffs do, and we actually
are. And by the way, if you don't,
trained.
Society simply would not even function.
No. And not only that, we are trained and required to be trained in traffic law, traffic code, and the criminal code. We're trained in the police academy. You cannot graduate from the police academy unless you have passed those two subjects. So what's the difference between a lawyer going to law school and learning those and a cop going to one makes arrests on those laws and one prosecutes those laws? What's the big difference? And yet only attorneys can do that. You know, how utterly stupid and arrogant of that district attorney, some lady that he's been fighting with for some time now. But the whole thing boils down to, if they said, let's go kidnap her, and they've got that on tape, they probably have a decent case. If they were just simply plotting to arrest her, like many people across this country have asked sheriffs and other people to do, why can't you just go arrest these rogue, Hitleric, criminal governors? Like, if you ask me, the governor where I sit right now in this state of Virginia should have been arrested when he said it's okay for us, the state, to kill babies. I believe that's a conspiracy to kill innocent children. Born alive, and he said, let's kill him. And yet, the media didn't run with that. The Democrat Party, not one time have I ever seen one single Democrat said, no, he's out of line. We don't believe in killing babies. You know, didn't happen. So I believe that a criminal investigation should have taken place against him. And for anybody to say that they're going to try to do that and then be arrested for kidnapping is a joke. And so that may be the case here. I don't know, but I agree with Darleaf. We shouldn't be trying to try it in the press, and of course the press will do that, and they'll eat that up because that's what they do. But I'm very interested in seeing if the evidence shows the word kidnapping ever used in what they were plotting.
Well, and the problem with that narrative, though, is even if the words were used, kidnapping, the problem is now you got to prove motive and intent because they never got her. So you can't determine what they would do with her once they got her. If they brought her to the jail and said, you know what, Sheriff, you need to, you know, put her in jail, and here's why, and here's the case against her, and da-da-da-da-da. In other words, they followed the citizen's arrest guidelines,
right.
Regulations to a T, then the kidnapping idea is out the window. Here's the problem. The government had plants and involvement in this big time, FBI right on down, to the point where was it a provocateur attempt? Was it, what was it? Where do we go? But you can't even determine what their intentions were because they never got a chance. Is citizen's arrest allowed in America?
Hi, I'm Dave. I'm 7 years old. I'm sitting here in the corner having a time out until Mom comes to talk to me. All I did was cut my sister's hair. I was just trying to help. I guess Mom didn't like how I did it. In a minute, she'll be back and ask me if I know what I did was wrong. Maybe I shouldn't have cut her hair. And she'll say we all make mistakes because we're just learning about stuff. And she'll give me a hug and wind up talking about more stuff.
No matter what you talk to your kids about, love is what they'll hear.
I really like Mom's timeouts, and I think she likes them too. Yeah, I think they help her remember how much she loves me.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at mormon.org.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, I asked right before the break, is a citizen's arrest legal and lawful and appropriate in America? The good sheriff answered yes. Richard Mack said yes, but I had muted him because of the break. I wanted to get that on the record. But I also want to say this, Sheriff. That's not true. If the government jumps the gun, creates FBI provocateurs, calls them militia, barbecues them in the mainstream press that they were trying to kidnap somebody, then you know you get to a situation where who committed the crime? The folks that were legitimately trying to citizens arrest somebody who they believe is a felon, or the FBI slash the government, whoever arrested these gentlemen, because they never got the appropriate ability to carry out the lawful citizen's arrest. Now, where do we go with this kind of stuff?
Well, we go to court, and I will say this. If anybody in the militia has committed a crime or intended to kidnap the governor, as horrible as she may be, and they had nefarious plans for her, and they were going to torture her, interrogate her, or put her under a white light, or lock her up in a room and until she broke, until she admitted to her crimes or whatever. I don't care what the plot is. It could be anything. I don't care. It doesn't matter what the plot. It doesn't matter what the plot is. If it's criminal activity, then they should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. I don't care who they are.
Of course they should.
I don't care. If it's a politician, if it's a governor, if it's a president, if it's a former president, i.e. Bill Clinton, I don't care if it's Hillary Clinton, I don't care who it is, I want justice and I want the truth. And if somebody has committed a crime, even if it's you, Sam, I would say, Sam, I'm sorry this has happened to you. You're going to have to answer to your crime. You're going to have to go to court. You're going to have your day in court. They have to prove you guilty. If you beat this in court, more power to you. But Sam, if you commit a crime, if I commit a crime, we all deserve to answer to the law.
So who committed a crime here? The people that are claiming that they were trying to commit a citizen's arrest due to the law? Or the government that literally stopped them, threw them in jail, and says they were trying to kidnap somebody and making false charges?
I don't know. I hope to see that. I hope to see.
And I don't know either. What we would have to do is have the due process of law to answer all those questions. Right.
I don't care who it was. If it's government that commits the crime, they need to answer to it, and they need to be prosecuted just like anybody else.
The headline, though, that says Michigan Sheriff Darleaf says that Michigan plot may have been lawful. I would take out the word plot, though, because that's what changes the whole discussion. So what would you call it?
Well, I guess you could plot to do something legal.
I guess so. The word has a negative connotation, but I understand.
Well, of course.
You're right.
Yeah.
So what would we put in the place of plot here? Because it wasn't to be a Whitmer plot. What would you say? Whitmer arrest?
Intentions. The intent. If they had no criminal intent, this is going to be a very difficult case for them. And they're going to end up with egg on their face.
I'm going to change it to arrest. And I'm going to tell you why I am. Because you know what? That's the claim. that, wait, we're citizens arrest here. That's what we were trying to do. That's the claim. Now, we can't say their claim is not accurate if we never gave them a chance to execute that. So the question becomes, how is this going to come out in trial? I mean, you know, if the government knows they've kind of jumped the gun on this one, I don't know if I ought to use that term. But anyway, the question becomes, what are they going to do then? Demonize and destroy and manipulate and isolate and to the point where then eventually the charges might be totally different than we started out as? Where does this go?
I mean, well, of course, they're going to try to do the same thing that they did to people at the Bundy Ranch. We'll offer you this plea bargain if you take 5 or 6 years. Otherwise, we're going to give you life in prison. And so they're going to try to intimidate people and coerce them into not going to court. And I agree with Ammon Bundy. If you haven't committed a crime, never admit that you have.
Agreed. Yeah. I agree. So are they trying to arrest, or was it a kidnapped attempt, Sheriff Darleaf asked. If it's a felony, you can make a felony citizen's arrest, Leaf continued, citing, and let's be clear, Michigan state law. Now, they say to justify his point is what they add in the article. But see, that just puts it in question as if he's not right, but he cited it. Okay, the truth is he is right. He cited the law. Citizen's arrest is legal in America. Let me say it again. Is legal in America. There's no wrong here if that was legitimately the attempt. The sad part is now we're convicting them in the news media. They do have a right to a fair trial. It's just a charge. As a matter of fact, these guys are innocent until proven guilty. So I'm not even sure if they had any part in it. He added, and this is important because what he's saying is he doesn't even know for sure if they did it. How do we know it wasn't the FBI provocateurs? Who was involved where at what levels? And that's where the rub goes, Sheriff. Anyway, I bring this up because they're relentlessly attacking Darleaf. Then they're trying to tie the Red Pill Expo and 88-year-old G. Edward Griffin to this and saying that we're of the same ilk and that we're involved together in some sinister way, building Ammon's army. All of it is I'm telling you right now, all of it is a dishonest string together of events and places and people and things that don't even relate, sir, in honesty, in true, open, transparent candor, do not even relate, sir.
No, they don't. And none of it makes sense. And that's why I say the bottom line is, show me where all these horrible militia members have committed a crime. In the past, how many militia members have been convicted of committing any felony, any act of violence? And I'm not saying there's none. I'm just telling me, show me how many. Show me. And let's go down the list. I can do all sorts of lists on the left. I mean, even way back in Stockton, California, at the University of Berkeley, where just a white person, a conservative, was going there to speak. And instead, the building started getting burned down. And just for having someone speak from the other side of what these people believe. And yet, I've never seen a militia member do that. I'm not associated with militia members, so I don't know what they do. And I don't know.
Wait a minute. They say over and over and over and over, you're a militia leader, sir.
I know. And I've never once reached out to a militia to ask them to do something with me or for me. I've never even been approached by a militia group saying, we want to work with the CSPUA. We want to be members. We hope that you'll come and do this. Maybe somebody from a militia group has called me. I don't know. But if they did, they didn't identify themselves as a militia.
Sure, they've called you. They've been involved in your events and everything else. We know they have because they commit there. They put plants in there intentionally for those purposes.
Yeah, the Southern Poverty Law Center put plants in there and then had to
retract.
Me a letter of apology and retraction.
Well, other than that, it's not so bad. All right, so here's the thing that really irks me about this whole threading together of all these events, places, and people and things that really just are not related. And they're making, for example, they're calling it Ammon's Army. Ammon wouldn't call it an army. He would call it a neighborhood watch, kind of a people's rights organization.
But remember when I said We are an army out to set other men free. That's a quote from Colonel Chamberlain.
Yes.
And I guess I sort of plagiarized it because I didn't give him credit. And it was just from the movie Gettysburg. And it's one of my favorite quotes of all time. If the Southern Poverty Law Center wanted to go after me, they could have accused me of plagiarism. But instead, they tried to accuse me of forming an army of violence.
However, I'm not sure it's plagiarism if it was a quote by somebody and used in a bunch of places, including in movies. At some point, it's kind of beyond the quote scenario.
Well, yeah,
but
if they had just Googled that and tried to get me for plagiarism, they would have had something legit. But well, the sheriffs in this country or the CSPOA is a, quote, army.
But here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about what a militia, you know, a little bit about this word militia, because they say this. Darleaf didn't throw the militia members under the bus. I'm not sure I know what a militia member is. I'm not saying there's not militias out there, and I'm not so sure that, you know, I understand that there's groups out there that are armed and training and doing different things, but I'm not so sure that we know what a militia is. See, because they're tying me to militias. I have nothing to do with militias. I've never trained with one. I've never spent time in a militia group. I don't even know the names of any militia group, except for I know they're named after states like Virginia Militia or whatever. But I don't know anything about them, but somehow me and you, Stuart Rhodes, and we're tied to militias. But as far as I understand, Stuart Rhodes goes on the ground and meets with the police and says, hey, we're here to peacefully help you. Meets with the Trump campaign and says, hey, we want to escort people safely to their cars so there's not violence and rioting. I'm not so sure that's a militia. So I don't get where this militia word being inserted in there. It's a scare word, but it's not honest. Sheriff?
Well, I can give you a quote from Virginia statesman and founding father George Mason.
Yes,
he said, I asked, sir, what is the militia? It is the whole body of the people, except for a few public officials. And then he goes on and he says, to disarm the people is the best and most effectual way to enslave them.
So hold on. So the militia is the reporters that are calling us militia?
I guess so.
So the very lady that says we're in a militia is part of the militia?
Yes. The word militia is in the Constitution, I believe, 5 times. It does give you a pretty good idea of what the militia is. And then United States Code 10 also describes the militia as every able-bodied male, M-A-L-E, from age 17 to 45.
Okay, so it's not me because I'm not in the 17 to 45 range, and I'm certainly not an able-bodied.
I wrote a letter just recently where I disagreed with that part and that it involves every able-bodied person from 17 to whatever age they are. If they're capable and able-bodied, that's the true qualification. And so I guess you could even go a little bit younger if you wanted to, maybe 15 or 16, but the United States Code says 17 to 45.
Well, and if you say able-bodied man from a militia point of view, at first glance, you might say, Sam, you don't qualify. You're older than 45, number one. Number two, you're a blind person. Therefore, you don't, but I could be a radio man.
Yeah, what's the matter with you?
There you go.
Yeah.
My point, though, is those people that are calling us all tied to militia, first off, there's no ties to militias or some of these groups they're talking about. Secondly, though, the people that are making that claim are really part of the militia also, depending on your definition.
Yeah, but are they committing a crime against you, accusing you of being that when you obviously have a slight disability? And how would you ever train with them and commit those horrible acts of violence?
Well, I'm just the radio man, sir. I'm just the coordinator. I'm the one that brings all you militia people together, don't you know? I'm at the center of the star, my friend. Isn't that how they're pitching it? I mean, they're insane.
Of course.
Anyway, the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, is we stand for God, family, and country. We stand for the protection of life, liberty, and property, and we aim to do it peacefully. And let me make one last statement. If they will let us, Sheriff.
Amen. And Sam, I really hope that we get to the truth because that's all I'm after here.
Amen to that. God bless you in Virginia, sir. We'll talk soon.
Thanks a lot, Sam. See you soon.
The good Sheriff Richard Mack with a CSPOA.org. They claim it's a militia organization, but they lie. Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org. Become a member today. God save the Republic.